Hello, a very good Saturday morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition. On the show, Mark O'Fleming, like many parents, watched her children struggle with heavy school bags, but's come up with a solution. Derry is nominated as one of the best Halloween destinations. Karen McLarnon joins me to discuss why and how you can vote for them if you want. Nella joins me on the programme to discuss a song she's releasing to mark Aware's 30th anniversary. Did you know your mobile phone use can be causing you injury? Well, chartered physiotherapist Jenny Brannigan has seen these injuries firsthand. Rory Friel and Aidan McCafferty of In Their Thousands are back on the show to discuss Andromeda Artisans, a showcase event for new bands. They'll sing us a track too. Tommy Maron, writer and director of It's the Real McCoy, tells us about the new play he's written, starring Tommy Fleming. And we get an update on last week's tractor run. How much money was raised for the Good and New Cancer Bus? And you are very, very welcome along to the programme. All that to follow, much more besides, between now and 12 o'clock. We've a busy show for you indeed. And also, loads of space for your calls, comments and requests. Keep us very busy on the phones today, will you? 086 77 00 555 if you want to text the programme about anything you hear or want us to discuss, or if you've got a wedding request or a birthday request, more than happy to play all of those for you as well. And call us to an 074 91 25000. Yvonne McFadden is on the phones as always on a Saturday morning. So I hope you're very well indeed. A bit misty again this morning. I don't think it's going to fare quite as well as it has done during the weeks, but we can keep during the week, but we can keep our fingers crossed. So, okay, we're going to have a quick look at the papers. So if you're out buying your paper this morning, what will greet you? Quite rightly so. The sad passing of Brian Friel, 1929 to 2015. Of course, we learned yesterday morning the very sad news of his passing, and this extensive coverage of his life and his work, and friends and colleagues reflecting on their experiences with him and of his work and what it meant to them. Remember that words are signals, counters, they are not immortal. A line from Translations in 1980, below a picture of Mr. Friel. Elsewhere in the front of the Irish Independent, Noonan, I want two more years as minister. Michael Noonan says he wants to spend another 2 years as finance minister, signalling he won't be taking a back seat if Fine Gael are returned to power. Property tax apparently going to be frozen in the budget. The Irish Times, they have a massive picture dominating the top half of their paper of the late Brian Friel, a giant of world theatre is how he's described. Garda HQ orders inquiry in drink drive crash case. This is a story of Garda HQ has ordered an internal disciplinary inquiry in Limerick after a car crash last December in which a man was found to be three times over the drink drive limit but was never prosecuted. The move will come as a major embarrassment to the government and the Garda, especially since several years of controversy over Garda terminating motorists' penalty points had eased. The man's BMW car overturned on the outskirts of Limerick City on December 11th, and then he had to be helped from the vehicle by Garda and the fire brigade. He claimed that he'd swerved to avoid another vehicle that had fled the scene but escaped prosecution there. The Irish Daily Mail, Jason's family are stressed at US case delay. Jason Corbett's family have revealed the personal stress and financial pressure they're suffering because of the slow pace of the investigation into his killing. The little baby, who's Daniel's lucky charm, of course, Daniel O'Donnell, competing in Strictly Come Dancing, and they have a story about his grandchild, I presume, on the inside of the paper. So we wish Daniel the very best of luck again, of course. The Irish Sun, US massacre, college gun nut was Provo fanatic, is the startling headline there. The gun nut who slaughtered nine innocent people in Thursday's college shooting in the US was obsessed with Provos and mass murderers. My understanding, though, that he printed or reproduced a publication on Publocked on the front on his social media, and it seems that from that they have determined that he's a IRA fanatic. The Irish Daily Star, Vice Queen works at care home. Not really too interested in that one, but if you are, it's on the front of the Irish Daily Star. Creche child snatcher arrested. This is a very worrying story. A suspected child snatcher who was allegedly caught trying to abduct toddlers from creches has been arrested by Gardaí. The woman was visiting nurseries in South Dublin and pretending to be a relative of the children. In one chilling instance, she alleged She allegedly managed to get a child before her parents spotted what was happening. So she's been apprehended there. Now, I want to mention that a dark tabby cat is missing from Newtown, Cunningham. It could be in the surrounding area. Her name is Lizzie, and she's got distinctive green eyes. So obviously the owner is very keen to get that cat back. Have you spotted her? A dark tabby cat with distinctive green eyes called Lizzie, and it's missing. The owners very much want to get it back. 07491 25000 if you can help there. This is one that came in just a little bit too late for Paddy, so we're more than happy to mention a coffee day that is taking place today. It's for Donegal Hospice, and it's at the home of John and Patricia Guthrie, Callandrum Keen, from 2pm onwards until late. Maybe something else than coffee a little later, who's to say? Please call in and support this great cause. Loads of people raising loads of money for the Donegal Hospice. And a couple of weeks ago, of course, we had a couple of gentlemen on, including Alan Wiley, to discuss the tractor run, which turned out to be a great success. I think that was last week or the week before. Well, we'll find out. They had massive success last year, and we're going to find out towards the end of the programme if they managed to match that success. I know when I was driving into work on that Saturday morning, there was tractors everywhere. So hopefully they really did very, very well, and I'm sure they did. 086 77 00 555, that is the text line if you want to contribute to the programme or get a request or dedication plan. And as I mentioned, you can call Yvonne on 07491 25000. If you use Twitter, you can tweet me directly. It's at Greg Hughes 2, Greghughes, and then the digit 2. Margaret Fleming, are you with me? You are.
After several attempts.
Our fault, not yours, Margot. Thank you very much for taking the call. You, like me, like loads of people listening to us, have seen the children throw that school bag up on the shoulder, and it weighs an absolute ton. It's not right, is it? It can't be good for growing backs.
No, Greg, absolutely not. I mean, for years I've watched, I have four children, and for years I've watched them struggling with their heavy school bags and bags that I couldn't even pick up myself. And I suppose I worried about it, and I drove them to school, and I did all the things that I shouldn't have been doing. And eventually I just got really tired, and I just decided I'm going to try and do something about it myself. So I had been saying to them for years, I'm going to split their school books in half, because I always felt, why carry a three-year book when you only need half it? You know, you could just do with half of it. And in particularly in the junior cert cycle in secondary school, uh-huh, a lot of the books are three-year books. So anyway, I decided I'm going to figure out a way of doing this. And I came up with this solution called Book Splits. And it's just a very simple DIY practical solution. And you literally split the school book in half. I know people are probably a bit shocked, but when you realise the book isn't damaged, it's just in two halves. And I developed these special rigid plastic self-adhesive covers. They're transparent. And you literally just use those to cover each half of the book separately. So you can leave half behind and just take half with you to school every day. And instantly, you can halve the weight of the books. It's incredible. I mean, it makes a huge difference just splitting five or six of the heaviest secondary school books.
It's so simple. I'm trying to come up with a plot flaw here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is. Like, a secondary school book weighs on average 1 kilo.
Yeah.
If you think about it, just splitting five or six books, which weigh about, just over 3 kilos, or one stone, you can literally take half a stone out of the school bag instantly by just splitting those five or six books. And as I say, I know people are reluctant to split a book, and I suppose we've all grown up and been told to mind our books and, don't be writing on them and all that, and then I'm coming along and saying, oh, don't worry about that, split them in half. Mm. But when you actually think, this is your child's health, and, if they develop a back problem, early on in life, they'd probably suffer for the rest of their life.
How does that work in terms of book rental schemes?
I don't have any book rental schemes on board yet.
Okay.
There's no reason why they can't. I mean, the covers are so durable, and they probably would add a benefit to the books. They'd make them much longer lasting.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why book rental schemes can't do it.
And what about then when, say for instance you can sell the books on or whatever, can they be re-joined easily enough?
There's in the pack there is a rebinding strip, so you can actually put both halves back together. But it's funny, when I started kind of doing this and I did a bit of market research, that was a huge concern of many parents.
Yeah.
But now that I've been doing it for over 2 years, parents are quite happy to buy a book that has already been split in two halves, because it's got added value really, so it's no longer really an issue. I suppose, you know, initially, as I say, people were concerned about the resale value.
Yeah, but because it's purely because it's so bloody expensive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is. It's huge. It's really daunting. I mean, I know I've cut up many, many books. And when I came to do my own kids' books, and if I've paid €30 for a brand new book, it's very hard to split it in half. But I always say to people, this is your child's health. This is their future back health. And really, you know, the book isn't damaged. I suppose that's key. The book is not damaged. It's just in two halves.
Now, I could go home and rip a book in half, but that would not be the right way to do it. That's where your product comes into it, your concept that makes it simple, protects the books, and then you also have the ability to reattach both halves when you go to pass them on.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, if you there is a special way, and actually why this works so successfully is because of how school books are bound. So without getting too technical, secondary school books are practically every secondary school book I've ever looked at is bound in what they call signatures, little sections of pages. And if you split between those pages, the book will stay intact. It's not like a paperback book. If you know, if you took a paperback book and bent it backwards, you would probably, some of the pages would start to fall out. School books are different, are bound differently because they've got to withstand a lot of wear and tear. So literally, when you split the book in half in between a section of pages, the book stays intact, but then you're left with two inside pages. So you've got to form a new cover. So that's what the book splits covers are. They're just rigid plastic covers that you just literally stick directly on. There's no air bubbles. They're really simple. It's even easier than covering a school book with, you know, that flimsy, soft plastic. Mm. It's really simple.
The bubbles all over the place.
Yeah, there's none of that. And even if your books are already covered. Sorry?
And the creases.
Oh, nightmare. And I think a lot of parents run a mile when they kind of think, oh no, I don't want to do that, and they'll do anything but cover school books, I suppose. That's why a lot of school bookshops have that service. But it's really simple. There's a video on my website which shows people how to do it. And really, I mean, I've gotten some of my most undomesticated friends to try this for me because obviously I think I'm a bit of a DIYer. But I know a lot of people aren't. And really,
I know what you're saying. You might have the knack. And if you want to make this a more widely grow the business sort of situation, it has to be, people have to feel that they can also do it themselves.
That's
as well.
That's so true, But really, if you look at the video, it's really, you kind of get it. And as I say, I always say to people, just think of your child's health. And once you've done the first book, actually, the rest are so easy after that, because then you know it works, but you have to do it. It's like one of those things, you just have to do it for yourself. And you're only actually cutting the glue. You're not cutting the pages, you're just cutting the glue. And when you see how easy it is, it's no bother. And I suppose, you know, you're dramatically improving the quality of your child's life, literally, by just taking this simple action.
So it's gone from strength to strength then over the last couple of years, has it?
Well, yeah, I've been doing it for over 2 years. It's getting out there. The word is getting out there, and bit by bit, people are doing it and hearing about it. And I suppose the key thing is that you don't need the school's permission. Obviously, if they're your school books. If it's a book rental scheme, it's obviously different. I would love to talk to both schools with book rental schemes, but at the moment I'm just kind of focusing on parents who can make the decision themselves. And that's kind of who I've been trying to target and to get the word out about it. But obviously, if parents like the idea and they're part of a book rental scheme in school, I would be delighted to talk to their school and approach their school about it. Mm.
It makes, because as you said, you know, the bags, they're so heavy in secondary school. And it just worries me when, you know, those growth spurts that children can go through from 12, 13 and 14.
Absolutely.
And the walking around and the walking between classes as well. In national school, you put your bag down and that's generally it, you know, you lump it in and then lump it out. But in secondary school, in many secondary schools, you're also carrying it in between classes every 40 minutes or so.
That's right. And in secondary school, generally, there might be a parent or something close by, and a parent, you know, you see lots of parents who are walking to school with their kids. The bag is over the parent's back, not the child's. But you're right. I mean, it's recommended worldwide that children should not carry more than 10% of their body weight. And that's health experts worldwide recommend that. An average 12-year-old starting secondary school weighs between 6 and 7.5 stone, or that's kind of 40 to 50 kilos. Mm. They shouldn't be carrying more than, that's 4 or 5 kilos. Now that's 4 or 5 books, which
not
is
to mention,
unbelievable.
But
and they've got 11 or 12 subjects.
And not to mention buying 3 or 4 bags a year because they're
that's
broken
true.
Into.
Absolutely.
So where can people get more info on Book Splits, Margot?
Everything is on my website. It's booksplits.ie. It's all one word, booksplits.ie. You can order online. It's delivered to your door. And as I say, the video is on my website, or give me a call if anybody wants to discuss it, or if you'd like me to talk to your school or whatever. But it's, as I say, I just feel at this stage, parents just need to kind of take control themselves, because this is an issue that is going on for years, as you know. I mean, since I've been in school, people have been giving out about the weight of school bags and concerned about it. But I think when I was in secondary school, we didn't do as many subjects, so we didn't have as many the hardback notebooks. There's just so much.
Yeah, it's not just the books, it's the workbooks and every other thing.
All of that. Okay. But at least with the school books, you can dramatically reduce the weight of the bag instantly by using this simple solution.
Interesting, Margot. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Okay, best of luck.
Great, thank you. Bye-bye.
Margot Fleming there. If you're interested in that, booksplits.ie. My concerns would have been the value of the books afterwards and what have you, but it seems Margot's thought of that, and you can reattach them as if you'd never split them at all. Booksplits. And you're very welcome back. Karen McLaren, Festival and Events Officer with Derry City Council. Good morning.
Good morning, how you doing?
Very, very well. It's that time of year, isn't it? Almost Halloween, hard to believe. But it's a big weekend, a big event in Derry, and has been for some time. When did Derry really when did it really take off, the Halloween celebrations?
I suppose the Halloween celebrations have been happening now for just short of 30 years. But really in the last 10 years, it really has just expanded hugely. I mean, the entire city just really, has taken it to be their own kind of major celebration throughout the year. I know I came to Derry for my first Halloween 15 years ago, and I've been coming to the city ever since for Halloween. So it's great to actually be involved in the organisation of it now. You can't escape Halloween once you are here in the city. I mean, it's not now just a one-day festival. It's a week long with activity right across the city, and everywhere you go, you just can't but know that it is Halloween. So it's really brilliant.
And it doesn't happen by accident. A lot of preparation has to go into it, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose from the council point of view, obviously, we do a lot of the major activity with the Carnival Parade, which is absolutely outstanding. It really is visually spectacular, with over 600 participants in it. So obviously there's a lot of preparation work goes into that for about 6 months, working with different groups, preparing their costumes and all of that. And right across the board too, I mean, the haunted house, Chateau Lafayette, that will be coming to Abington Square again this year and returning. There's a lot of prep work and, even the design of the story that takes you through there, all the creation of all the pieces. And that's true right across the city, as I say. Different places, there's storytelling, there's tours, and, everyone really is prepping them right throughout. I mean, even our programme that you'll be able to see in the next few days, there's Halloween making costumes, there's pumpkin decorating, all of that will be happening right through October to make sure that everyone's fully prepped for October 31st.
And what kind of numbers come into Derry to swell the population over the course of Halloween?
Yeah, well, over the week of activities, we would have over 45,000 people. On Halloween night itself, we probably have about 25,000 watching the parade and the fireworks. So it really is huge numbers. And as I say, that's right up through the week. There's people coming into the city. I mean, already Halloween night, the accommodation is booked out throughout the city. So if you want to come at this stage, there's obviously the couple of nights leading into Halloween, or else you may get begged, borrowing and stealing with friends and family sofas and things, because it's going to be hard to get a place that weekend.
Now, it's in the running. Derry's in the running in a competition, isn't it, for best Halloween destination?
It absolutely is. Obviously, we've always known that it's the best destination in the world for Halloween. But
of course, we just want other people to recognise that.
Exactly. But USA Today have been running a poll. Again, independent. It's not something we went after. USA Today are running the poll themselves. And they're running a series of 10 best. Derry is actually nominated or shortlisted in the top 20 for the number one place in the world for Halloween, competing with places like Salem, like Transylvania. So, some good competition, but currently we're polling number one. So I would just encourage people to keep voting and make sure we stay at number one when it comes to closing day on the 12th of October.
I might enter my spare bedroom. You want to go into that? It is scary. It is scary. I'm not going to lie to you. But I don't Very think good. It's on the same scale. So how can people vote and support and keep Derry at the top of the list if they want to?
Yeah, well, as I say, it is USA Today that's running it.
Right.
The web link is called 10best.com. And if you go on there, you'll see the 10 best locations for Halloween.
Superb. And this programme you're talking about, when's that going to be available for people to plan their celebrations?
obviously online at the moment, you can access our Halloween. That's www.derrystraban.com/Halloween. Mm-hmm. So you can start to get any information that you need online. And the hard copy that you'll want in your hand for kind of planning your tours and trails around the city for Halloween week will be out this week. So
All right. It'll
be distributed widely. You'll be able to get your hands on it.
Exciting times, Karen. If I go up, I'm sure you've a spare room, have you?
Absolutely. Look, we'll find you a spot somewhere. Don't worry about that.
Even back garden, I'll bring a tent. Karen McLaughlin, keep up the great work. As I say, it's leading up to the really busy time. And thanks so much for joining us on the programme. It's really appreciated. All right, that's Karen McLaughlin there, who's Festival and Events Officer with Derry City Council. Derry nominated for one of the best destinations for Halloween in the whole world. It's topping the list at the moment. 086 770 0555. Good morning, Nella.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
How are you getting on?
Good, thank you. Hello from London.
London? Okay. Originally from Cork, though.
Yeah, no, I live between Cork and Dublin, but I'm just over in London for a few days.
Okay, international. Yeah, so. Fair play to you. Yeah. Now, you have written a new single, which we'll hear a bit of later, and it's called Beautiful. And it's for Aware's 30th anniversary. Tell us a bit about Aware, Nella.
Yeah, they're an amazing charity. So basically, it's their 30th anniversary this year. So they support people that go through mood-related disorders, depression, bipolar, and also give support to their relatives. So they really are an amazing charity, and you know, everybody knows somebody that's gone through something, some sort of mental illness. And yeah, so I'm releasing the song because I wrote the song about when I went through depression about 8 years ago. So I went through clinical depression, worst time of my life, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But after about 3 months, got through it with medication and counselling and a great doctor and things like that. And then I wrote the song about my experience. So I thought, why not release this, you know, to support a great charity? And they actually have their 30th anniversary ball tonight in Dublin, but unfortunately I'm in London, so I can't go. But yeah, so that's kind of the background of...
So the song Beautiful, then, is it about your journey through depression, or is it reflecting on your time when you were depressed?
So that's a good question. I wrote it about a year after I went through that time. Luckily the depression has never come back, but I suppose you probably, you know, I think maybe as well I've learned the tools to protect myself, I suppose, as well. But yeah, no, I definitely wrote the song about when I went through it, and just to kind of remind myself to like the words are very kind of me talking to myself, basically, you know.
Was it therapeutic, the writing process, or difficult?
No, definitely therapeutic, definitely, because it's a constant reminder. And, you know, the course is very positive, you know. So it's for me, it's kind of, it's almost like, my own therapy. But I always say that with writing as well. It's kind of, you know, I feel very lucky that I write and I have that outlet because, you know, a lot of people don't have that. And it, for me, once if I'm feeling down or I'm feeling sad or anything and I write, then the weight is completely lifted straight away, you know, so...
You've come up with an interesting concept for the video, which the public can get involved in. Tell us a bit about that, Nora.
So we are crowdsourcing people's beautiful moments for the video. So I'm asking people to send me 3 to 15 second clips of what is a beautiful moment to them in their day. Because when I went through depression, you know, I was a smoker at the time, not anymore, thank God, but my next pull off a cigarette or my next sip of coffee, I didn't see joy. I didn't see any light. There was no joy. It was just a black hole. So I really want people's beautiful moments to be just something so simple in their day.
So it
just
could
to remind them to appreciate it.
It could be a scene, a sunrise. It could be the smile of a loved one. It could be
absolutely
anything like that at all.
Something so simple. Like a lot of things that I'm getting are people playing with their pets, you know, that they, you know, obviously their pets are like part of their family, or, you know, with their kids, or they're walking down the street. A lot of people already have these clips in their phone. They don't even realize, you know, things you take of a sunset or you know, just messing with friends or having a drink with friends. A lot of people have these already in their phone, you know, so we're just asking people to send them in, and they can send them to like all my social media things. So everything is like facebook.com/Nella's Music or at Twitter at Nella's Music or nellasvideo@gmail.com.
And the format doesn't matter. You can convert those. So it could be off a smartphone or what
exactly.
have you. And you, they send them.
ideally, if people did this, like turn their phone to the side, or if they had them in landscape, that would be really, really handy.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
you don't want two black bars, Dan, if you can avoid it for your lovely
video.
Exactly,
that would be fantastic. Not to be too picky, because I know it's I know people have to go for an effort, but go to an effort to send them in. But it really, like, the whole video then will be just of everybody's beautiful moments, and everybody's name will be on their beautiful moment. So, you know, we've got like a few celebrities coming on board already and everything. So it's been amazing. Like Twitter, there's 91 retweets of this video.
Brilliant.
Of me telling people about it, which is just incredible. And people like Brezzy and other actors and actresses and bloggers all retweeting this and sending me stuff. You know, one of the actresses in Fair City, Rachel Pilkington, she messaged me earlier saying, hey, you know, how can I do this? And everyone just wants to get involved, which is amazing. So for me, you know, emotionally, this is an amazing thing for me to be able to kind of do this with Aware and have my music video full of everybody's beautiful moments.
And you talked about your journey that you went through and the difficult time that you went through. Everyone can come through that journey, we hope. But the first time, the first port of call could be Aware. Lift up the phone, realize that you're not on your own, realize that there is a way out of the darkness, and that's the importance of groups like Aware. They start you on that journey that you've been through.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what it's all about.
I didn't really know about Aware at the time. Like, I went to my doctor, and you know, I won't say her name, the first doctor I went to just gave me medication, Valium or something, and just told me, go on, you'll be grand.
Some GPs, I think that it's the way they're trained to look at things so
perhaps,
physically that maybe sometimes they overlook the mental health a little bit.
But I went to another GP, and she sat me down for an hour, and she explained everything, and she kind of acted like a service, like Aware, that I didn't know about at the time, you know. And she was amazing, and left everybody waiting in her waiting room, and explained to me what was going on. She's like, you are going through clinical depression. And I was like, what, you know, because I couldn't function. It was terrible. But it just happened as well. That's the other thing. I just woke up and it happened. There was nothing that triggered it. So that's the thing as well that I really want to put out there, that it can happen to anybody, and it's okay to say you're not okay, and please pick up that phone.
Yeah.
I mean, suicide and everything is just too prevalent in this country, you know. So if you know, Aware offer the phone service, they offer a walk-in service. They're amazing charity. So absolutely, people, if they're feeling in that dark place, to pick up the phone, call people like Aware, and get some support. Because, you know, for me, I mean, I have a daughter, she's 13, so she just started secondary school, and, you know, I kind of walked away from her secondary school the first week this year going, oh my God, I've had a number one EP in the charts this year, and now my daughter is, you know, happy, healthy, really, you know, straight A student, multi-instrumentalist. You know, I got there, you know,
but when you
can't see it.
When you're depressed, you can't see that, even the positive,
absolutely.
Exactly. Okay, well, listen.
My mum trying to get me to, you know, what's your favourite meal, or, you know, what can I do? And it's like, you can't, you can't see that light, but you absolutely can get through it.
Okay.
And, you know, you really can, and people need to.
So instead of telling someone to pull themselves together, tell them to ring Aware, really, something like that, or Samaritans,
yes,
or something like that. Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
listen,
absolutely.
Nella, it's been really interesting talking to you. The
Thank
single
you.
Is
Thanks
called Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, I think if the easiest thing, anyone searches on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, searches Nella Music, they'll track you down that way, won't they?
Nella's Music, yeah.
And
so
you're looking,
Nella's Music.
And you're looking for 15 second clips?
Three to 15 second video clips.
Yeah, and it's 4.5 minutes, this track, so you'll get loads in.
Yeah, I know, we've gotten some amazing stuff, but we need more, you know, because, I mean, the more we have, the better the video will be, and, you know, everyone, you know, can be part of a music video, which is kind of cool too, you know, so,
Excellent. All right, then, Nella.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For having me.
Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Thank you.
Okay, that is beautiful there from Nella.